So again, as I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara is taking a bit of a shift away from Masa V'Chala to Netilas Yadayim. We'll see how much of these sugyas we're doing. We're still working on figuring that through. But we have at least here a piece that are related to Mayim Machonim. So then we left off at the bottom of Kufay and Val, read that part quickly, let's start there again. Amar Mitzvah by Yosef, Amar of Yanai. Actually, this is a long before. Mayim Rishonim, Dokhan, Beit Mechan, and Beit Mishonim. What does Mayim Rishonim refer to? Nitiyas Yadayim. What we refer to as Nitiyas Yadayim, before the meal. So when you wash Nitiyas Yadayim, you don't have to worry about temperature. Whether the water is hot, or whether the water is cold, you're allowed to use it for Nitiyas Yadayim. Amar Rishonim by Yosef, Amar Yanai. The Mitzvah Yosef says the name of Yanai. Hoshano, this was not taught except Elo. When we say that it can be hot, really what we mean is that it can be what we would probably call warm. Warm. Up to Yatzeledes, bro. But, I will Yatzeledes, go ahead. But if it is Yatzeledes, ain't no good, go ahead. Then you are not allowed to use it. Then you're not allowed to use it. Now, Yatzeledes, go ahead. Yatzeledes, go ahead, is a term which is probably most famous from the Hilchos Shabbos. Again, when it comes to bishul on Shabbos, there is a difference between liquid and solid. For a solid to be considered to be cooked, it has to reach the level of Michael ben Jusoy. A thief, not a dog. It said the ben Jusoy people were a bunch of ganavim. They were always on the run. And they would apparently have to eat their food pretty quickly. So for a what?
From Bishul, right?
So I'm saying. Yeah. So when it comes to Bishul B'Shabbos, the definition of Bishul, now whether that definition carries over to other areas of Halacha Bishul, let's say Pasuk Chalav is one case. Or another case often is Bishul Akum, a food cooked by a non-Jew. At what point does it have a status? So again, when it comes to cooking a solid, the din is that when it gets to Michael ben Yusai, it's considered to be cooked. How long, how cooked or not? It's Michael ben Yusai, so machlok is between the Rambam and Rashi, whether it's one third cooked or one half cooked. We are machmir for both. So, in both directions. Meaning, in terms of reheating something on Shabbos, we will not consider it to be cooked and allow it to be reheated unless it's more than half cooked. Although the mice that were mocked or even in the Shukal circle, that's a different reason. That's a little more complicated than that, but Baker, I think, we think it's a problem. And we're going to be mocked in the other direction and assume that you can't let it even get to be a third of the way from it. This is when it comes to a solid.
These are the board mocked.
So when it comes to Bishul, and I'll throw the cards on that. When it comes to bishul, when you have a solid, the shear is ma'achal, the food of ben jusoy. The ben jusoy people. Ben jusoy, again, are an oven. They have to eat. They're willing to eat their food more raw than most. But again, apparently, it's enough that it's considered to be edible. They don't eat their food raw. They eat their food when it is partially cooked. So Michael ben jusoy is a ma'achalkes between the Rambam and Rashi. It's either halfway cooked or a third cooked. Now, how you figure that out is another machlokas, but again, we can't learn all of bishul right now. We would think that you would do it based on the amount of time that you cook. Like, if you have to put a piece of chicken in the oven for an hour and a half, then you figure that a half cooked is 45 minutes. But the mice that we see isn't so pushy that way. Right? There's a more of a change that happens in the food in the last part of the cooking. That if you ever grill, you'll know better from meat. Right? Because the difference between what we would call rare and well done, because sometimes it be just a few minutes, and it's not correlate to how long the rest of the cooking was necessarily. So again, this is details of Hilchos Shabbos, for the most part. When it comes to a liquid, and why is that the definition? Because bishul is about changing the food. It's about causing a change, using heat to cause a change. Once you've turned it from raw to edible, That's a significant change, getting through the heat, and then you're going to be excited for on Shabbos. Good? That's the one that's more relevant to us, is what's the shear of cooking when it comes to a liquid that is yaksova at this point. Which literally means that it's hot enough that your hand will recoil. That if you touch something hot, you know, your body naturally pulls away from it. That's considered to be cooked when it comes to liquid. Why is there a different shear when it comes to liquid than when it comes to solid? It seems to be that oftentimes when it comes to a liquid, the main change that takes place when you cook it is not a physical change in the item, it's just a change in temperature. Like take water, for example. Water is the same water, whether it is hot water or cold water. It might kill some bacteria, but basically it's the same thing. The difference between hot water and cold water is the temperature. But if you want hot water, you really want hot water. Like you want something different. So when it comes to liquid, the definition of bishul is yatzolat is bahem. What is that temperature? Is a major machlokas based on a few gemaras to figure out how you figure out what that temperature is. We assume that it's basically a range between 110 degrees Fahrenheit and 160 degrees Fahrenheit. I will be machmir here also in both directions. So 110 is not so hot. 100 is not so hot. People who like mushel, people who like hot showers, like a hot, good hot shower, how hot, do you know how hot that water is? It's usually about 100 degrees. That's a hot, hot shower.
But there are hotter ones that.
Yeah, that's hotter than a normal shower. You wouldn't shower using that kind of water. Usually wouldn't shower in that kind of water. So it's not gonna scald you, which is why we're not looking for boiling. We're not looking. Now, one of the simanim that the Gemara gives in terms of figuring out the shear is the temperature at which kresos shel tinok nichves go. Babies have much more delicate skin than adults. And the shear that the Gemara, one of the shear that the Gemara gives to figure it out is the temperature at which the soft skin on a baby's belly would burn. Now, obviously we don't want to go out and test that. Now, there are statistics that exist from burn centers and things like that. Basically, this is the machlokas. This is how we assume. We try to make sure that nothing on Shabbos will get heated up past 110. But we won't consider something to be hot enough that the bishul was complete unless it was 160 degrees. That's Yatzolat's plan. Now our Gemara says that the water is, and again, the nafkaminas to this are going to be any case where you have halacha that requires bishul. So if we assume the definitions are the same again, with the main areas that are halachas of bishul being these three. Shabbos, bishul akum, having a non-Jew cook for you, and when it comes to basar v'chol. When it comes to basar v'chol, do we say that the isser basar v'chol, which only takes place there at bishul, does that kick in as soon as, well, you have, depends what you have, right? You have cheese, you have the meat, if it's solids, then you're going to be looking at the microbiome soil. But again, those are the issues. Good? Okay. Now, none of this in terms of why the Gemara is bringing it has anything to do with basa v'chala, at least on the surface. Right? It simply has to do with temperature of the water. Now, normally, you're not going to be washing your hands with boiling hot water. But, again, whatever the temperature is, if you want to use you have very hot water, you want to use it to wash your hands. So the Gemara is saying here that if it's hotter than, let's say, we'll call 110 degrees, you should not use that. You can't use that for an exhaust diet. Good? Oh. Now, what I was pointing out at the end yesterday was that the language of Rashi is a little strange. Now, I don't know what the reason is. I'm looking at the Gemara, if I ask you, why is it? Why is it true? Why is it true that if it's Yatzolel is put in, then you can't use it. So I don't know. Right? It's not clear what the problem is. Why would it be? Why is this din of the Gemara true? Now Rashi's reason is a compelling reason why it shouldn't be true, but it's a strange svara on the surface to understand. Like Rashi says, the pshat is that the din is you have to do a tilsedayin with water. You have to do a tilsedayin with water. This is not water anymore. But lumitoras mayim. This isn't water anymore. What is it? It's chamin. It's a new category. It's hot water. Hot water. And again, the riot that hot water is different than regular water might be the fact that temperature is the cutoff as whether there was a bishul or not. So again, but in Lomdus, what Rashi seems to be saying is something very interesting. I don't really have a much better alternative shot as to why it should be. Why should it be? The only other shot that I can think of is that if the water is too hot, maybe you're not going to wash properly. Right? Meaning if you... Maybe that's the air. It depends. Like my Bubby Yalda Shalom used to, take hot potatoes out of the oven with her bare hand.
It's different though.
So the question is different.
Well, the palms of your hands are usually thicker skin, especially if you're doing a lot of cooking. But if you're washing hands, your entire hand is clean. There's no way your pinkies can be able to handle the same amount of water.
At 110 degrees? At 160 degrees, I'm with you. But if it's going to be as low as 110, I don't know if that's so simple.
I hear you again.
So it could be that this is what the din is based on. It could be. Now Rashi is saying along the shot, and there's a machlokas then based on Rashi. Then what would you say, Rabosai? What would you say if this water cools down? If this water cools down, when Rashi says it's but lumitoras mayim, is he talking about that the metzias of this is that it is not mayim anymore, or? While it's hot, it's not water anymore. But azul chamimuso, if the chamimus, if the warmth, if the heat leaves the water, then what's there to be concerned about? It's actually machlokas amongst the later achronim. What should be the din? The pashtus, to me, was I thought that it's once the temperature disappears, it goes reverts back to being water. But there are those who don't say that. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be that if you have the shady and the cup that you would wash with?
That's a good point. That is, we talked a little bit about klisheni. So how does klisheni fit in? So the aura here, klisheni might not matter at all. Because it depends what the reason is. If the reason is that this water is not water, again, when it comes to bishul, so we said, why does klisheni matter when it comes to bishul? What was the svar that we said? And therefore it's not the zera. It's not the normal way to do bishul. Not the normal way to do bishul. But who says that this halacha is used with normal bishul? It's not a halacha of bishul. It's related to bishul, but it's not a halacha of bishul. So lav davka that's going to be a factor. Okay, but it's again, it's a fascinating Rashi. When you Bezos Hashem learn bishul in the more Ian than we're doing right now, make sure to pull this Rashi and Chulin out of your back pocket, and the Chavusa will know what they're doing. Yeah.
I have a question. Before we're talking about, let's say hot water, why can't you use hot water or lime up front? Because it's not going to your hands properly. Although, I would say nowadays, when you're cleaning something, you're considerably going to use hot water.
I don't know fully the answer to that, but I think the answer to that is that the mile of hot water, when we use hot water, is hot water in conjunction with soap. Hot water alone, I don't know that it does so much more. It loosens up some, it's the hard or gunk. I don't think it gets the oils and stuff.
It's like a oily food.
Yeah. The oil still does not get off with hot water.
It's more successful.
Viharaya, when I've tried to wash dishes without soap, I'm always busted out.
But my wife says if you try to do it,
and she didn't know that I wasn't
trying to do it with cold water versus hot water. Or
it's worse.
Cold water, it's even worse. Okay. Because cold water causes things to condense in the deal, and therefore it's harder.
Okay.
When it's warm, the amount of deserts expand and it's looser.
Again, I don't know exactly what we're trying to get off. It depends on the substance. Yes. If it's a substance that reacts better in a cold water,
we're talking about meaty foods. So fat meat.
We're not talking about meaty foods.
So
about
meaty foods. I guess.
We don't know the reason yet. We haven't discussed why we're doing Mayim Achronim. But now we're talking about this, but Mayim Achronim we weren't. Okay. Talmud Vayikra. Then the Gemara says, Ika Damaski La Seifa. Now again, this is a line which comes up frequently in the Gemara. What Ika Damaski La Seifa means is that this halacha that we just taught, so we have Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef teaching his din in the name of Rabbi Yannai. This halacha that was taught, meaning he made a statement, Lo Shano Ella Shani Atzoledes Ban. That statement, everybody agreed, all the Talmidim agreed, that he spoke about that in Yeshiva that day. There was a machlokas amongst the Talmidim. What case was he referring to where he said there's a limitation related to Yad Tzolei Espo? So the first group of Talmidim said that the pshat is that it's talking about Mayim Rishonim. And there's now a new limitation. Even though you're allowed to use warm, there's a cap on warm. What did Yad Tzolei Espo? Game over. Ika Demasi La Seifa, there are those, and again, the din is going to come out differently now, because it's an application of this statement, Ika Demasi La, there are those who taught it, that he explained that he taught it, going on the Seifa, that Acharonim, Eichotin El Betzonim, El Betchamin, Lo, that the Seifa says, that when it comes to Mayim Acharonim, you have to use cold, you can't use hot. Says that no, if you learn it on the Seifa, then now when it comes to Mayim Achronim, are you allowed to use warm water? Yes. Up to Yatzoledes Bo is going to be mutter. Because the first version had said Chamin Lo, so we would have assumed that means all Chamin are out. Comes along Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef in the name of Rav Yannai, and he is Mechadish. No. Warm is only a problem once you hit Yatzoledes Bo. Less than Yatzoledes Bo is going to be. What does that do in terms of my enemy shown him? It's the opposite. No. Again, the statement is the same. The words that Rabbi Yitzchak taught are going to be the same no matter what. He says, right, Lo Shanu Ella She'ein Hayad Tzoledes Bo. Right? But there are two different potential clauses that it could go on. If it's the first one, then it's going on Mayim Rishonim, and it's saying that even though we said that Mayim Rishonim is allowed Bechamin, it's not allowed if it's more than the Yad Tzoledes Bo. Before he came along, we would have said, as hot as you can handle, you can do it. There's no halachic imperative other than getting your hands clean. Other than washing them, physically getting the water on them, that's all the Mayim Rishonim is about. If it's going, the other way to learn it is that no, there's no limitation whatsoever in the Risha, and you can be whatever temperature you want. But when it comes to Mayim Acharonim, we say you can't use hot. Now, on that, he says, Lo Shanu, this that we taught that you can't use hot, that was only if it's Yad Tzoledes Bo. If it's less than Yad Tzoledes Bo, then you're allowed to use it for Mayim Acharonim. So it comes out the opposite, right? If you learn on the Risha, it's a limitation, right? It's a chumrah, we'll call it, in the Tfilas Kedayim. If you learn on the Seifa, then it's a kula in Mayim Achronim. Right? Because the Risha said that Mayim Rishonim Chamin, yes, and the Seifa said Mayim Achronim Chamin, lo. So if you attach this to this, so you're limiting, the common yes is now only if it's less than Yad Tzoledes Bo. If you're putting the Mayim Achronim, we say common no, that's only if it's more than Yad Tzoledes Bo. But again, this type of line of Ika Demaskiva all consistently presents itself in the Gemara, and the Gemara is trying to say that this line that was taught can go in either direction. And there were different times we didn't understand that he was talking about a different din. If that's true, so what does that do for us back at the Gemara on Kufay and Beis? What does that do for us now in terms of Mayim Rishonim?
It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. It's cloud. The Rishonim obviously got to let it play mutter. And now it comes out. Now it comes out that in my Rishonim, if you're learning on the safe, then my Rishonim common is across the board. As hot as it is, we're not going to say this lumdus of buck when we cover as mayim. It's still water. It's still water. As long as you've got a fancy line with water, that is going to be good enough. Those two Rashi's. This that we taught that my machronim is not allowed. But chamin, that's only if it's more than yadzol lezbech. Wow, the mahana plus machronim started with rishonim. Right? What's the diak? The diak is that whatever is being is whatever is now limiting when it comes to my machronim, and we're saying it's not good. My machronim is going to be limited by rishonim. That was the essence of the line originally. That my Rishonim is more kal in this area than my Rishonim. Good. Okay, that should have been relatively straightforward. Oh. Says the Gemara. And Tsoyim Rishus. We mentioned in the Braisa that Mayim and Tsoyim, Mayim in the middle, Rashi goes before I what was in Tsoyim, Shenotim Mitasho Tasho. Between, we'll call it horses. Foods. Right? Not talking about desert diet, not talking about my machlonim, it is considered to be a rishos. So, Amar Nachman, Loshon of Elevate Tapshu, the Tapshu. Abobe Tapshu, Vina, Abobe. Loshon, who only taught this, Vain Tapshu, the Tapshu, between one Tapshu. Another tapshu. I'm a big tapshu. Vina. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's the definition of tapshu now? Tapshul is being used the same way in the statement or not, which is the simplest way to read it. In what case is there going to be a case of washing, which is a chova? So the only washing that we know that's a chova is the one from Kavdal and other babies. Right? Again, regarding cheese in another dish. In terms of the Tios Gedayim, that we know. In terms of my Rachon, that we know. But being tashil and vina, the only time that we know that there's going to be any fee of talash is going to be if it is meat. No? What?
It couldn't be that.
It couldn't be that. Why?
Because we know that it seems not good enough. It seems like yeah.
Oh, so that's the one good point that we're going to say?
No, I was going to ask.
One second, please finish this one up.
Yeah.
So what Jack is saying is that, whoa, well, if we read this very carefully, then we have a problem. Because if it's tapshul with meat, and it's written in the order in which you're consuming it, then meat, then cheese, who says that Tios Gedayim alone is enough? One second. Now, the simple answer to that would be, maybe it's not in that order. Maybe it's not in that order. And he's just working off the language of tapshul from the Reisha. That would make it, I think, a little bit easier. But it's a very, very fair point. And if this is true, then whatever we're talking about in the main tapshul, which is mutter, simply is between two meat courses. Yeah.
It's not what I'm going to say. Does it have to be feeding again? Like half, right? Could it be like...
I think so. Because it's in the same context of... Rishon and Akron, which are the Sudas. So.
Okay, my question was, so that would... Telling us that they never cook dairy? They didn't cook
no.
Cheese?
No, it just might mean that, we'll see. If you do learn like what Shiloh was mentioning, that the tapshul is being basar, does that specifically have being basar basar? Once you know that it's true being basar basar, then you would say the same thing being vina liquina. Yeah.
We're talking about like being a mitzvah, but like,
This was just here?
Yeah.
This was just here means that if you don't, you're not required to do it.
You're not required to do it.
Right.
Is it still a mitzvah?
Well, we're not. Because, again, we said that mitzvah, right? My Mishonim and Achronim, we said earlier, we're
separate.
We're mitzvah and tova. We were only able to put them together because those are both so different than Rishos. The Rishos means option. Here. This would be the option, yeah.
If we're talking here, but how does that fit in with our, I guess, our Zohar earlier, they said that you can't use cluster of models in Zohar.
Again?
You said yesterday that, Donna, or Jude, I don't remember, that you can't have.
Okay, good, good. That's a fair point. Again, he's asking, pointing out, but again, we got to get there. We got to get past the surface. But if you want to learn the simple pshat, then the chora, what he's saying is that bein tavshel gvina is a chova to wash. But if you do wash, you're able to do it even in the same meal. And again, even if you want to get past Jack's problem and reverse the cheese and the meat, it's still a raya that besuda chada is going to be permitted. Right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very good point. We'll have to get there as well. Good? Okay. So let's see Tosfos over here. So Lo Shanu Ella Bein Tavshil L'Tavshil. We only learned that you need to do Mayim Emtsoyim between one dish and another dish. Omer Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rabbeinu Shmuel says, Demairi, what are we talking about? What are we dealing with? Bishneyem shel basar, shneyem shel gvina. Two of the same dishes in terms of their halachic category. Two fleishiks or two milchiks. Which again, maybe coming from your diuk. Bein tavshil l'tavshil, tavshil seems to mean basar. But once you see that it's true, bein basar l'basar, there's no reason to assume that it wouldn't be true, bein gvina l'gvina. However, ava bein tavshil shel basar l'gvina shelefanav chova. But between tavshil shel basar. Now tavshil shel basar is not the same thing as basar. Right, tavshil shel basar is what we were referring to be fast, is the potato from the chalent. Potato from the chalent. So you're not eating what we would call the mamushus of the meat, not the meat itself, but it's food that not in a flit, we're not talking about fleshic equipment, we're talking about it cooked with actual meat. That's a tavshil shel basar. It's a tavshil shel basar. So if it's a tavshil shel basar, and again, he's probably working out the fact. It doesn't say bein basar lebasar. It says bein tavshil. So we're talking about a dish. So a tavshil shel basar, legvina shel lefanav, and you have gvina before it, chova. That would be the case of chova. That sounds like how he's learning the pshat in our Gemara, right? The statement in our Gemara was lo shana bein tavshil tavshil. When is it a reshus between two meat dishes or two dairy courses? When is it a chova? If you're eating a tavshil shel basar, a meat dish, after cheese. Why that order? Because of what you said. Aval legvina shel achara, but if it comes to cheese after the tavshil shel basar, Lo ka amar. That's not what we're talking about. Why not? Dafilo b'netiyas yadayim. Aser lechol ad seuda acheres kedo amar le'el. Acha basar aser lechol gvina. So he puts everything that we know together. And he says that the pshat when we say bin tavshil l'tavshil, so according to, I assume Rabbi Shmuel is the Rashbam. So according to the Rashbam, top shield. The top shield equals two of the same. Two of the same. What is the next? And in that case, it's a rishus. It's completely optional. It's completely optional. What is top shield with vina, which equals a chova, is cheese before a meat dish, and in that case, it's chova. But if it's vina v'tachil, which again, it's counterintuitive in terms of the order, but I'm trying to explain it, right? Which is cheese after meat dish, asur. Sewer, right? It's not going to be allowed. With just my, not that you're washing your hands, not sewer. It's, it just doesn't help, right? It doesn't help. It's not going to be, it's not going to be enough. Good? That's the rest. Shiloh? What's the problem?
It's a little
I know. Right. That's the weak, that's the weakness, the weakness, or one of the weaknesses that I found in chat. Is the fact that we would have thought that the one listed first, the one that's being eaten first, is the opposite. His answer might just be, we just said made top show, so I'm going to put top show first. Might be his. But he says, whatever the reason is that I wrote it that way, it can't mean the opposite, because it's just simply not true. It's not true. You're not allowed to do it. Now, the Chiddush lahalacha, l'chora, is that, again, you have to figure it out, but maybe he's being mekyo. Maybe he's being mekyo when you have a meat dish as opposed to meat following the cheese, then maybe an etilas yadayim is enough, even without kinuach and hadacha. Not clear. Because there's no mention of kinuach and hadacha. And then there would be a chiddush here. And there would be a chiddush here. Not 100% clear. But maybe that's the because again, why are we talking about tavshel shel basar as opposed to basar? Maybe that's what he's saying. A tavshel shel basar just requires cleaning of your hands. It doesn't have the same reasons because the meat's not actually there. So it's not as not as chamor even after the cheese. Maybe. Good? That's the Rashbam's shot. Says Toisvis Veinir the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam does not think the Rashbam is correct. Why? The bein tavshil gvina mashma tavshil tchila. He has Jack's problem. I don't understand. He's like, what was the order? The order was tavshil first. What does tavshil mean? You guys told me tavshil means basar. How do you know tavshil means basar? Because it has to be something different than gvina. But what order is it in? Tavshil and then Gvina. That sounds like which one's first? The Basar is first. The Tavshil is first. Do we really make such diukim? Because yeah, we did it before, right? Kidomer le'al, kama yishah bein Basar l'Gvina v'lo klum. And there we assume how long you have to wait between meat and then cheese. And we said, you don't have to wait at all. And we were, the whole mahalach of the sugya was assuming that that's the order. And it has to be that it's written in that order. So if we're being medayik over there in the language of the Amoraim, which order they're stating it. So here also, which order are you stating it? Oh. And on that, we ask, Duparach v'amar v'chist d'ach ha-basar asa lecha gvina, l'kamishar ben gvina l'basar. So again, the Gemara asked that kasha, assuming that the Gemara was being serious when it described the achila, that it was in that order. V'od, and also, bein tavshil tavshil, b'shneim shabasa shagvina, lama yesh lalito klal. This, l'chora, is the even stronger question. Even the stronger question. This was one that I was hinting to yesterday. The Gemara there asked, on that statement of Kam Yishab, bein basa l'gvina, and said, how can you say you don't have to wait, bein basa l'gvina, then Rav Litz says it's usher. So the premise of the kasha is that it's not in that order. Otherwise, we would have said, why are you asking a kasha? Just obviously reverse it. So we take the order seriously. The second kasha we're going to tell you seems like a more serious question. Right? It's a question that I was trying to point out to you guys yesterday. To say that something is a reshus, there has to be some sort of reason why I would think that there's a halachic requirement, and we're being mechadesh that it's optional. But if you're just saying, do it, do what you want, you can always do whatever you want. I don't need a braisa to teach me that I'm allowed to wash my hands in the middle of the meal. If I want to wash my hands during the course, am I not allowed to? That's not optional. Of course you can wash your hands. Why wouldn't you be able to wash your hands? So Frek Rabbeinu Tam, I don't understand Rashbam. If we're talking between two of the same rishus, shkayeh, you're allowed to wash your hands. Of course you're allowed to wash your hands. I don't need a braisa to tell me that it's a rishus, being topshul and topshul. What's going on? The other chora is the stronger question on the Rashbam. Now, when we see Rabbeinu Binyan Tam does say, we maybe will understand why the Rashbam didn't want to say like Rabbeinu Tam, but the kasha still stands. It's a strong kasha. It's a strong kasha, just in pshat. Why is the braisa telling me a chiddush about something being a rishus? And the chora it's a chiddush, but otherwise, why is the braisa wasting its time and energy? The chora, there's no reason to do that. So because of these two kashas, again, one meaning that the mashmaos of being tavshil gvina sounds like the tavshil is first, and they're both agreeing that tavshil means basar. Second kasha is on the first half of the statement. If being tavshil and tavshil is two of the same, what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush? Good? Good. Rabbeinu Tam's two kashas. I said them in the opposite order this time, so I'm just going to say them both again because I don't know which one you're referring to. The first kasha that he asks is, he says, the second line of Rav Nachman, when he says, Bein tavshil gvina, if we're both agreeing that tavshil means basar, it sounds like the order is basar than gvina. So how can you now go ahead and tell me that means that the gvina was first? That was the first kasha. The second kasha was on the first half of Rav Nachman's statement. If Bein tavshil tavshil means two of the same, either 2 meat or 2 dairy, and we're saying that's a reshus, what's the chiddush? It's obvious. I don't need to tell you that you're allowed to wash your hands. So it's not telling me anything that I don't know. Why is the braisa even talking? There's nothing to teach me. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam explains. The Bein tavshil tavshil, between one tavshil and another, haino Bein tavshil debasar, the tavshil shel gvina. When we're talking about between a tavshil shel tavshil and a tavshil, we are talking about something that was cooked with meat and something that was cooked with cheese. But neither of them, you're actually eating the meat or the cheese. So you're taking a potato out of the chalant, and you're taking a noodle, out of from under the cheese and the macaroni and cheese, but it didn't get mixed in well, like a poor macaroni and cheese, or something along those lines. So now hold cup. So we're not talking about basar itself and gvina itself. We're talking about a tavshil of basar and a tavshil of gvina. The keva. Now we explain the keva and the ain't basar gvina be'en. Since the bas and the gvina are not in existence, be'en means literally in existence. But what it means here is there's no mamashus. There's no substance to it. You're not talking about meat itself. You're not talking about the cheese itself. They're not here. They're not here. Rather, v'leka elatam, there only is the taste. Lo hechmiru sheichov alito yada bintayim. Veinu al rishus. Wow. A mayra dikachiddush, says Rabbeinu Tam. If I want to eat a potato from the chalant, and then I want to eat a noodle from this macaroni and cheese or something like that, which doesn't have any cheese on it, but it was cooked with cheese. Or maybe it's like the crust from a pizza. I don't know. Pizza's baked, maybe it's different. So a noodle from the macaroni and cheese, it's optional to wash in between them. It's optional to wash in between them. Why? Because neither one is the real McCoy, right? Either one of them is the real deal, the real thing. We're not talking about actual basar. We're not talking about actual gvina. Let's finish the rest.
Even meat and dairy?
Meat dish and a dairy dish. We're not talking about meat and dairy themselves.
Lach ora.
Let's see. Aval. Now, what's the second half of the statement? The statement said that being tavshil the gvina, you have to wash chova, right? Yeah. Aval being tavshil the basar. So now, what's tavshil talking about? A meat dish. So now, if it's between the potato from the chont and actual cheese, not a tavshil shel gvina. Shagvina be'en, that the cheese is here, it's literally there, it's in existence. Chova, that's where it's an obligation to wash your hands. That's where it's an obligation to wash your hands. What? You're tripping?
No, I'm going to stop.
We read that part. Right? Degelina basar agvina be'en, since they're not in existence. Vileka elatam, and there only is, right, it's a double negative. There isn't that, right? There only is tam. Lo hichmiru, they were not stringent, sheichova lidol yad bentayim, to say that they're to obligate nihil yadayim. Veinu al rishus, so it's only optional. Aval bentav shel debas legvina, but now if it's a meat dish, an actual cheese, shagvina be'en, that the cheese is in existence, chova, there you have to wash. Now keep in mind that Rabbeinu Tam is the most makil when it comes to waiting between meat and milk, even between meat and the cheese itself. He said in Tosos earlier that the only time that you have to wait The only time that you have to wait is without netila and kinuach. But if you do netila and kinuach, then even after actual basar, you're allowed to do it right away. Right? So now he's saying that, and now if you have a tavshil shel basar, if it's just a meat dish, it's even a step lower. Then he adds in one final point, and I'll make sure everything is clear. V'itachen perish zeh af l'divrei oisrin lechol gvina achar basar v'osa seuda afilu b'netila v'kinua. You can even say my pshat, he says, according to the ones who say that you cannot eat gvina after meat in the same seuda. But he recognizes the position that the rest of the Bali Kosovo take, which is we'll call the second most makil opinion, that it has to be l'seuda acheres. But in the same seuda, that's not going to be allowed, even if you do kinuach and hadach. Right? That's the point of contention between Rabbeinu Tam and the other Bali Tosfos. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you can even have basar and gvina in the same meal as long as you do kinuach and hadacha and tilsedayim, right? And you wash your hands. The Bali Tosfos would say even if you did them, then until you're sudach mitzvah, you learn from our ukva that you have to be in a different suda. So what Tosfos is trying, what Rabbeinu Tam is suggesting, that even according to Tosfos, it says that between meat and cheese, you have to wait the suda acheres. If it's a tavshil, they wouldn't say it.
Didn't we say earlier that tavshil is the same principle?
We said that the halacha. This Tosfos is saying that this Gemara, again, l'chora, none of this. Right. The Rashbam is not necessarily going to agree with any of this. The Rabbeinu Tam wants to suggest that there's room to be making. Now, either way, the Torah, they're not being machmer for that Zohar. But Rabbi Natan clearly wasn't concerned about that. Right? He wasn't concerned about the fact that you're eating it, eating in one meal is in and of itself is a problem. So again, should we summarize those? Good. Okay. So Gemara makes a statement. The Gemara says that Beitavshil Latavshil is Ma'im Tzoyim is a Rishus, and Beitavshil Gvina it is a Chova. There are machlokas between the Rashbam and between Rabbi Natan, what do each of them mean? According to the Rashbam, Beitavshil Latavshil means two of the same. And when it's two of the same, then it's going to be optional. That's the main kiddush. But Beitavshil Gvina, then you have to wash. Good. What's Rabbi Natan's problem with the Rashbam? He has two problems with the Rashbam and Pshat. What are his two problems with the Rashbam and Pshat?
Tavshil comes first.
Oh, one is that if tavshil means meat, as you see from the end, bein tavshil and vina. So if the tavshil comes first, then if the tavshil comes first, no. If the tavshil comes first, and it is basar. So why in the end are you reversing a pshat to say that we're talking about a meat dish after cheese? And then the other problem, right? And then the other problem is,
why do you need a total thing to do?
What's the chiddush? Good. What's the chiddush between two of the same parts? Of course, you can wash a few if you want to wash. Therefore, Rabbi Natan comes and says a massive chiddush. Massive chiddush. Tavshil tavshil means a tavshil of basar and a tavshil of vina. His chiddush is that if you have something that was cooked with cheese and there's no cheese on it, and something that was cooked with meat and there's no meat itself, but it was cooked together in the same dish, you can eat them one after the other without even washing your hands. That's a finish. That's a finish to say that because the dying is a rishus. Because if one of them had mamashus, right, if one of them was the actual thing, then it would be a chova. Then it would be an obligation. So that's not a big finish. And then he said, yeah, again, but it's all Rabbi Natan l'shitasa. It's all Rabbi Natan l'shitasa. The Rabbi Natan is very, very makil when it comes to waiting, even between meat and cheese. That will even allow between meat and cheese, as long as you have dinuch and hadacha, and because yadayim, he's going to allow you to eat them together. But here he's going to be makil. And say that between a tavshil shabbosar and a tavshil shuvina, and a tavshil is taka chiddush, and it means the same thing. It's not talking about, not significant whether it's basar or shuvina, you can plug that in. But tavshil means, as opposed to where the Gemara earlier was talking about achal basar, achal shuvina, achal tavshil means addition. Because otherwise, the Gemara knows very, very well how to say basar. And it should have said, made basar the basar, you know, you don't need, or made vina the vina, you don't need. Or it doesn't say any of that. So here it's talking about something different. He thinks that others should agree that Pshat. Well, it's not so clear that any of them would. Is there a good answer to the Rashbam? I'm not sure. Again, other than the fact that he's stuck, because I understand why he doesn't want to say like Rabbi Natan, because Rabbi Natan is a very big Kiddush. Is there a reason why the Gemara has to teach me that it's not, that there's no Chova?
I don't know. Is a Kiddush that keeping clean not
obligation to watch. There's no chiyuv of having clean hands. I'm not sure. The kasha seems strong. Again, I understand his resistance to it, because the chiddush that Rabbi Natan has to say is massive.
But I don't have a better shot right now for how the Rashbam would answer that kasha of Rabbi Natan. But again, push comes to shove. When he's in this difficult circumstance, and the only alternative is to say what he thinks not true to halacha, I understand why he wouldn't want to say that.
Good?
Okay, fine. So now we'll stop here. And then tomorrow we'll do the 99 words. If you did not have a chance to see the Tosfos in Amud Aleph or the Shofar, definitely take a look at that at the beginning of Seder. And then we'll go on to the Gemara a little bit.